The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, the verses 17 through 31. As he went out into the street, a man came running up, greeted him with great reverence and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments: don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother." And he said, "Teacher, I have, from my youth, kept them all." Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. And he said, "There's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come, follow me." The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom?" The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing, but Jesus kept on. "You can't imagine how difficult, I'd say it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for the rich to get into God's kingdom." And that set the disciples back on their heels. "Then who has any chance at all?" they asked. Jesus was blunt. "No chance at all. If you think you can pull it off by yourself, every chance in the world if you let God do it." And then Peter tried another angle. "We left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life." This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I discern God's voice in our hearts and lives this very day. It takes a lot of living to discover the real depth and importance of this story that we just heard. And yet when you and I understand and accept this message, it shines new light on the joy, the beauty, and the power of our faith. It actually gives away the secret of living, truly living. It helps us to evaluate our faith, our attitude towards life, and gives new meaning to being a Christian in our times, times like these. And we now know that this man's crossing of paths with the man from Nazareth was indeed the day when he made a decision. a final decision that would determine everything he said and did from that moment onwards in his life. Beloved brothers, sisters, let's admit, possessions do play an important part in our lives. You know, it is amazing to see how many people would almost do anything. They will tell you an unbelievable story. They will lie. They will steal. They will ruin their lives, their marriages, their relationships with others, and sacrifice their pride, their honor, anything, just for the sake of money. An elderly man was on his deathbed. He called his wife to him and said, "Go to the fireplace and take out that loose stone under the mantel." So this woman did as instructed, and behind the loose stone, she found a shoebox crammed full of cash. He said, "That's all the money I've saved through the years." Then he said, "So when I go, I'm going to take my money with me." So told his wife, "Want you to take that box up to the attic and set it by the window. And I will get it as I go up on my way to heaven." So his wife followed these instructions, and that night the old man died. It was several days after the funeral that his wife remembered the shoebox. So she climbed up to the attic, and there it was, still full of money, sitting by the window. "Oh," she thought, "I knew it. I knew it. I should have put it in the basement instead of the attic." Powerful message there. Of course, the story is anything but true, but it does make an excellent point. Recently, a very rich person died, and someone asked, "How much did she leave behind?" Someone answered, "Everything. Everything." Today's scripture says, a wealthy man came to Jesus, seeking the way to a better life and a better future. "Keep the commandments," Jesus said. "I have," he said, "since my youth." "Ah, you lack one thing. Now go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth." The Bible says, that was the moment that the man's face clouded over. You know, if a person's face cloud over, they suddenly look unhappy or deeply worried. This is not what he expected. Eternal life was not as cheap as he had hoped, after all. And now he discovered there was a price to pay. Spiritual values are worth far more than earthly riches. Let me say it again. Spiritual values are worth far more than earthly riches. Eternal life is not something that happens the day I die. When God becomes real, a spiritual transformation begins deep within us, changing everything in and about our lives. And at this moment, Jesus was offering the deal of a lifetime. This exchange of values could have been the best exchange this young person ever made. He had the chance of a lifetime. Nevertheless, his face clouded over. He said no. He turned it down. Why? Why do you suppose he did that? Obviously, he came to Jesus because his life was without fulfillment. Oh yeah, he was used to fine clothes. He stocked his fine wine cellar with fine wines. He richly decorated his home. He was actually accustomed to the best of everything. However, why did he walk up to Jesus? Because his riches did nothing for him. He was unhappy. He missed something in his life, and he knew it very well. So he stated his need before Jesus, and he received an honest, a searching, a truthful answer. Jesus was telling him, rearrange your priorities in life. There are things in life far more important than money. Get rid of the things that separate you from God, and you will receive a hundredfold return on your investment. Research concluded that an overwhelmingly percentage of Americans value financial success above all, above everything else. And that could be the main reason why so many people find it so difficult to make a choice for the spiritual values that Jesus offered to this man. This man who, without knowing it, actually arrived at the crossroads of his life. He was facing a choice in that moment that would determine everything in his life from that moment on. And so when he was advised to rearrange his priorities, he could only see what he would be giving up, and not what he would be gaining. Come to think of it, this man could have won a victory for humanity. He could have made a difference with his life, and even more significantly, he missed a life-transforming experience that would have sustained him throughout his life. Just think of it. He had the opportunity to walk with the King of Kings, but all he could see was what he was losing. Losing, not what he would be gaining. In materialistic times like these, most people still overestimate the value of material possessions. Yeah, of course, we do need to work for and have financial security in this society like ours. Someone put it this way, he said, well, having money is good if only for financial reasons. However, that's the message of Scripture. Possessions are only one element in an otherwise good life. And when your possessions become an end in itself, then life, your life, mine, gets completely out of kilter. Possessions are a great servant. Possessions are a terrible master. Many have learned the hard way that wealth is not the key to happiness. Money will buy you a bed, but not sleep. It'll buy you books, but not brains. It'll buy you food, but not an appetite. It'll buy you finery, but not beauty. It can buy you a house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Amusement, but not happiness. Money can buy you a crucifix, but it cannot buy you a savior. So once again, the challenge and the decision is before you and me. Entering God's kingdom is the theme of this day. Entering God's kingdom calls for an exchange of earthly values. And it states one thing so clear for you and me. You know what? Jesus is a way of living. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Once again, Jesus simply says, follow me. Follow me. Come on. Let's go. Amen.